All right, well, you guys, in the last episode, I said that this was going to be a two-parter, but after recording an episode just prior to this one, I decided I think it's going to be split into three. So this is going to be part two of three of our breakdown of the Marvel Legends releases of 2020. So let's begin. What is going on, you guys? My name is Ramney, and this is an oral history of Marvel Legends podcast. Welcome back, you guys. This is officially episode three of the oral history of Marvel Legends podcast. I almost forgot what the podcast is called there. But we've been talking about the different releases in chronological order of waves of the year 2020, and in the previous episode, which if you guys have not heard, make sure you go re re go check it out. Check out the last episode before this one. But in that episode, we talked about the first wave, which was the Super Skrull Build-A-Figure wave, and then the second wave was the Demogoblin Build-A-Figure wave. The third one was the Crimson Dynamo, and then the fourth one was Gamerverse Abomination. So those are the four waves that we talked about in the second episode, which is the episode before this one. So yeah, definitely go and listen, have a listen to what I thought of the figures from those waves. So we're gonna go in chronological order, and I'm gonna try to keep this within 30 minutes. So that's kind of the target of mine for these podcast episodes is 30 minutes. And so we're gonna keep talking until we reach that point. And I'm using the website figurelist.co. If you guys don't know what that website is, definitely go check it out. It is probably the best database for Marvel Legends out there. All right, so right around mid-year, we got the Sugar Man Build-A-Figure wave. Now, the way that I get these waves is I get them pre-ordered. I do live here in Thailand, and out here it's hard to get these figures in retail. And if you do get them in retail, they're usually like the equivalent of like 30, 35 US dollars. So if you get them pre-ordered from a legitimate seller, they can get it for a discount price because you don't have to worry about, retail markup or anything like that. So these guys that I buy these waves from, they're pretty legit. They mark it up a very, very small amount, and I get the entire wave from them. Anyway, so the Sugar Man Build-A-Figure, and I'm going to include the Apocalypse Deluxe Build-A-Figure with this as well because it is kind of part of it. But this is the first time, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's the first time that we got an entire wave based on just one storyline, and that, of course, is the Age of Apocalypse, which is like a really 90s storyline. And in this wave, we got a couple of re-releases and a couple of brand new figures, mostly brand new figures, actually. So let's break it down and let's take a look at what we got here. The re-releases I was talking about were the Age of Apocalypse Sunfire, which we already got. Hasbro already gave us an Age of Apocalypse Sunfire, which was I believe it was a Toy Fair magazine fan's choice figure. And I own that one, which I didn't get until later. But I got that figure, which was completely different than the prototype that was published in Toy Fair. I did own that Toy Fair magazine where they talked about the different figures that were up for contention and we had to vote. I didn't vote myself, but I do remember there was a Silver Samurai there. There was a giant-sized X-Men Storm, I believe. There was a Gambit with the X-Men uniform. There was a North Star. Lilandra, I think, was there as well. But of all of those, it was the Sunfire, the Age of Apocalypse Sunfire, that won, which was a really good choice, I think. But the prototype that they used was this opaque yellow figure. But when it eventually came out, it came out translucent, which was a nice surprise, and it made it a lot better, I think. Anyway, we got this new re-release. I believe it's in the Sunfire body, the older Sunfire body, and I think it is a much better figure overall, and much better proportions. I'm glad to finally have an updated Age of Apocalypse Sunfire. Wasn't asking for one, but it's nice to have. Anyway, the other re-release, or another figure that we got already, was the Age of Apocalypse Weapon X, which is the Wolverine. And this one was from Toy Biz, so we got an old Toy Biz figure finally updated by Hasbro with this Weapon X. And for the most part, it's not bad. It's not a bad figure. Of course, they use the brand new Wolverine buck, which I think there's like different versions of it. One without the, butterfly joints, and one with the butterfly joints. And I don't remember, off the top of my head, I don't remember which one this was. But they do use that, the Wolverine buck, which I think they perfected it. And it's a nice figure to have. My only thing with it is that it's got like this, what Anthony's Customs calls like a popsicle head syndrome, which is essentially when you have the head sitting really high up the ball peg of the neck, and it just makes it look funny, especially if you're looking at it from the back. But I do like the sculpt, I like the hair, I like the facial expression, and I like the accessory, which is the nub. What do you call it? There's a nub with the claws sticking out, and then you have a nub without the claws. So those are nice touch. But yeah, so those are the two re-releases. And then you have a couple of new ones. The Dark Beast, which is using the new Beast body. Really good figure. Head's a little too big in my opinion, but overall I think it came out really well. And then you have X-Man, Nate Gray, which in the comics, he's a teenager, but if you look at this figure, he looks like he's like a divorced 30-year-old dad trying to be edgy with his a hair parted in the middle, like a 90s boy band style. But it's not a bad figure, I think. He uses mostly Bucky Cap, but it does have some newly sculpted parts. I believe the arms are new, and the jacket is new, and you got the kneecaps are new as well, because he has those knee pads. The effect here, same as the old Cable that we got a couple years back, with the eye kind of glowing off to the side, not a bad touch. So it's nice to have it. Would have been nice if they used, you know, the Sunfire body for him, but it's good enough. Like, the face could be a lot younger, to be honest, but it's finally nice to have a Nate Gray X-Man figure. And then we have Morph. This Morph is not the Morph that people are familiar with. Like, if you read the Age of Apocalypse storyline, then you'll know about this Morph, but the Morph that people know is the one from the X-Men animated series, which is the Morph that was mainly based off of, I believe, Changeling, an old X-Men character. Now, this morph is, I believe he's got the same powers, but he's got like the white face with no nose. Not a bad figure. Not the one that people are asking for, but overall, I think it is a good figure. Good body that they use. I think this Sunfire body is probably the best body that Marvel Legends has right now. It's a nice, like, average-sized superhero buck. But it's nice to have. And it's nice to have this morph, finally. We also got a Wild Child. Kind of average, not really anything special. It does come with a chain, however, and it sort of teases, because the chain is kind of long, it kind of teases that there's someone that's supposed to be holding the other end of that chain. And of course, we're all speculating that it's Sabretooth, and we're speculating that Sabretooth might come out in the upcoming Age of Apocalypse Wave 2. That'll come out in 2021, so here's hoping that that'll happen. But I think it could be a little shorter. It's a little too long and lanky. It's using the Pizza Spidey body, but it's kind of bland, because it's just this, like, ugly mustard yellow, which is what he looks like in the comics, so you can't really blame Hasbro for it. It's just average, I think. But that's all right. We've got Jean Grey. Really nice face sculpt in this one. Really nice hairstyle. This is a Jean Grey that we've never gotten before in Marvel Legends, so it's nice. It's a nice welcome addition, and I think it's revealing enough. I know a lot of people are talking about how Hasbro's sort of trying to keep it PC because of Disney's influence. But I think there's a good enough cleavage in this figure to please people. So those who are into that kind of thing. So nice to have this Jean Grey. Of course, you match him up with the Weapon X, because in the storyline, I believe they are lovers. But it would also be really cool to have a Cyclops, the one-eyed Cyclops from the Age of Apocalypse. Also Colossus. There's a couple more characters from Age of Apocalypse that, you know, I'm not like, I only read the story like once. This was way back when. I barely remember what happened, but there are some characters that are memorable. Joe Madureira's art is pretty memorable, but would be really cool if we got a re-release or an update of the Holocaust figure. It'd be nice to have another update of the Sabretooth. Age of Apocalypse Sabretooth would be cool. Colossus, I think, has a pretty cool style too. And then you got Psylocke, Nightcrawler. Those guys are pretty awesome too. So here's hoping that they will all show up in the wave, next wave of Age of Apocalypse. And I'm thinking maybe, who are they going to have for another Build-A-Figure? I speculate that it might be another Holocaust or Nemesis Build-A-Figure, which would be really awesome, because the one that we got isn't too bad. It's definitely based off of Joe Madureira's art, which is very stylized. But it would be really cool to have a new Holocaust figure, one that doesn't have a broken hinge. Because mine did break. I actually do own two. One that I never put together yet. So that means the hinge is still not broken. But I still haven't put it together. And then I have the one that I put together with a broken hinge. I bought it used with the hinge already broken. And, you know, for the most part, it's not like I flip it open and shut anyway. I keep it down. I keep it closed, so doesn't really bother me or the way that I pose the figures. Anyway, what else haven't we talked about? Oh yeah, the, of course, Age of Apocalypse Deluxe Apocalypse, which technically is not part of this wave. It's a deluxe figure that sort of accompanies this wave. So I'm going to include it, but it is a nice body. Like this buck that they use, it's the same body that they use for the Apocalypse Build-A-Figure. It's a nice, nice body. They added some new parts to it. The gauntlets are new, I believe. The shoulder pads are new. The head sculpts are new. There's a two heads. It got shoulders. I think they also changed the boots. Those are all new, and it's a really nice addition to the to your collection. It's another Apocalypse. A lot of people use that Apocalypse for because for some reason the Gladiator that came with the Apocalypse Build-A-Figure piece has risen in cost in the secondary market. So a lot of people have used this Age of Apocalypse head for that Build-A-Figure. However, it's not exactly the same, but it's passable, so I can understand why people do it. So yeah, that's it for the Sugarman Build-A-Figure. I think, oh yeah, we haven't talked about Sugarman himself. I don't know what to say about this figure. It's one of the best figures, Build-A-Figures, I think, of the year. Just because of how different he looks. If you put him on display, he's just this weird looking, kind of like Humpty Dumpty with four arms figure that just captures the attention, you know what I mean? Because it's so drastically different than all the other figures around it. Really crazy, menacing face. Love the sculpt. It's just completely brand new sculpt, obviously. But like it's hideous and it's fantastic. Definitely a must own. Sugarman did appear in Earth 616, so you know, if you're one of those strict 616 collectors, I believe Sugarman has also appeared there. So that's that for the Sugarman Baff. Let's move on to the next one, which is the Retro Spider-Man. And this is really cool. Initially, I think we got Retro Green Goblin. Very cool figure. It's just a re-release, really. Like a new head sculpt, yes, but it's very similar to the previous Green Goblin that we got. But this time it came with a Norman Osborn head, which is finally something that we got. So that's really cool. So you can take that Norman Osborn head and you can put it on a suited body. So you can have that Norman Osborn businessman look, which I think Professor X's kind of a dark green suit would probably suit Norman Osborn the best. So yeah, that's pretty cool. You can have him with your Dark Avengers as well. And then you got the Retro Spider-Man, which is, I would probably say, is the best Spider-Man figure that we've ever gotten. I know Toy Biz produced a lot of Spider-Man figures back in the day, especially with the Spider-Man and Spider-Man Classics line. But even counting those, I think this is probably the best Spider-Man figure to date. I don't, you know, the only things that I can see that could be a potential problem is the fact that it's a little bit bulky, which to me, I know like a lot of artists have drawn Spider-Man in different ways. Mark Bagley draws him kind of like a skinny, lanky teenager. But I've seen, you know, John Romita kind of draws him a little bit thicker. I know Todd McFarlane draws him pretty big. Eric Larson kind of draws him a little big as well. So it's nice to have this Spider-Man. Even though he's a little bit thicker, I think it still suits him, you know. Pretty cool. It does remind me of Eric Larson more so than others. because of how dense the webbing is on the costume. It reminds me of Eric Larson, definitely. Although it does come with an alternate head, which is very similar to the way that John Romita draws it. So overall, amazing. And one of the best figures of the year, in my opinion. Also, you've got the retro Gwen Stacy slash Mary Jane Watson. Pretty cool figure. Was not expecting Gwen Stacy or Mary Jane. This is our second Mary Jane, but our first Gwen Stacy figure, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah. Really amazing to finally have these two. You also have the retro armored Daredevil, which in the books or when I was reading the comics, a lot of heroes, superheroes, were kind of going through this like extreme 90s look, and this was Daredevil's. He was beaten up, I don't remember by who. He was beaten up pretty badly. Was it by Siege? Can't remember. But in the story, he got beaten up pretty badly, so he decided to armorize into this costume, which I don't think is that bad, considering all the other crazy 90s costumes that other superheroes have gotten. Like Spider-Man, for example, Sample got his Spider Armor Mark I, which was the silver suit that he got. That's ridiculous. Captain America even got armored up, and Thor got I don't even want to go to Thor's, because he ended up with like exposed belly button, kind of like this ridiculous 90s look. Anyway, Daredevil, I think, is probably one of the better designs. Although the storyline that it was on, I don't remember it being easy to read. It was pretty difficult. So yeah, there's that. But this is really nice figure. Nice to have a Matt Murdock head that is not the... I believe the old Matt Murdock head that we got was a reused Hawkeye head. That was like the first appearance Daredevil, the yellow suit, the Walgreens exclusive one that was like peg warming everywhere. that came with a Matt Murdock head, but this one is kind of like, it's different enough. It looks a little bit like Cyclops, but you could tell it's not Cyclops because it is a redhead. So that's how you know it's Matt Murdock. But it's nice to finally have him. Again, you can take this guy's head, put it in a suit, a suited body, and you have yourself a Matt Murdock. Could use a walking stick, maybe. That would have been cool if they added that. But yeah, really nice to have this figure. It's nice and clean too. Like it's a new sculpt. You know, there's a lot of new sculpt in this figure, so it's really cool to have him. You also got Electro in the Retro Wave, and this Electro is very unique in that, well, it's not unique. It's kind of like the classic Electro, but in a more bulky body. And a lot of people have something against it because, yeah, in the comics, Electro's was traditionally drawn skinny, but I've also seen Electro drawn thicker, bigger. I think Todd McFarlane might have drawn him this big, but I do remember specifically the 1992 Marvel Masterpieces illustrated or painted by Joe Jusko. Electro was one of the more memorable cards from that trading card set, and he was big and bulky like a bodybuilder, so that's how I remember Electro anyway. And I think this one captures that perfectly, so pretty cool. And then two more figures. You got the retro Mysterio, very cool re-release of the old, like what, couple years old Mysterio, maybe last year even, I don't remember, but this is just a repaint really, with a paint wash to kind of highlight the checkered pattern on his costume. You got different colored gloves, you got a different head underneath the dome. Overall, it's kind of annoying to get a Mysterio so soon after the previous release, but also it's different enough, you know, you don't have to get it, but if you do get it, it's different than the old one. And then lastly, you got the Peter Parker figure, which is a civilian Peter Parker with the controversially the opaque eyeglasses, which is kind of annoyed a lot of people. Now the head sculpt looks very, it's almost like it's a combination of like Steve Ditko's glasses, because that's how Steve Ditko used to draw glasses, but he did draw them transparent. So you got Steve Ditko's glasses, but you got a more John Buscema face, which I don't remember John Buscema ever drawing glasses on Peter Parker, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's a bit of a combination of both, so more handsome looking like John Buscema did with the nerdy nerdy Steve Ditko glasses. But the one highlight and the one that I have on display is the alternate head, which was the kind of like the Spidey sense head, where you have like half Spider-Man mask, half Peter Parker face, which is like, that's how it's drawn in the comics anyway, the way that it's revealed to the reader that this character, this Peter Parker guy, is Spider-Man. The way that that's done, it's brilliant. I think nice to have that head. Would have been nice to have like a spider sense effect, but you can get those third party on eBay anyway. So there's that right there. And then I guess we'll talk about the Strong Guy Build-A-Figure wave last. Maybe didn't realize I had this much to say, but this wave right here, the Strong Guy Build-A-Figure wave, is one of the best of the year in my opinion. I am an X-Men fan, 90s X-Men fan, so there's that. I loved X-Force. I was one of those people that saw New Mutants turn into X-Force back in the 90s, so really cool to see some of these characters right here. So first, you got the blue suit Deadpool. That's all right. That's from like an X-Men story where Beast and Wolverine kind of put a spare X-Men suit on him just to kind of mock him, make fun of him, which was it's a cool enough figure. We got this version of Deadpool already in a two-pack with Warpath, which was hard to get. Also, in my opinion, isn't on the right body, but this is a much better re-release of it. However, they did use the exact same like chest strap as that old two-pack Deadpool, blue Deadpool figure. You can tell because it's meant for the Bucky cap body, that chest strap. So that Bucky cap body compared to this Sunfire body that they used for this one, that Bucky cap body was, sorry, I keep saying Bucky cap, it's the old Bullseye body. So the old Toy Biz Bullseye body was what they used for the old two-pack Deadpool. And that strap fits that body perfectly, but then they reused that strap for this one, which is the Sunfire body, which makes it a lot smaller. The strap does not fit him very well. That's what I was trying to say. Very long-winded, but that's what I was trying to get at. But anyway, this Deadpool, nice to have this re-release. And then you got Maverick. Now, this Maverick figure, I think, is perfect. It's a little tall, but I think it's amazing the way that the head is kind of connected with tubes to the back. The way that he's got like the, what do you call it? Like the face mask kind of, like the breathing apparatus thing he's got kind of like around his head or around his neck there. Very 90s costume, designed by Jim Lee. This was the, I believe Maverick came out in one of the earlier Jim Lee X-Men issues, like issue 3 or 4 or something like that. But very nice to finally have this figure in Marvel Legends form. Very cool. It's a bit of a convoluted design, but it's seeing it in toy version, it looks a little more simple than the way that it was drawn in the comics. So that's nice. So yeah, definitely loving that Maverick figure. And then you also got Black Tom. Black Tom is definitely a nice addition to the X-Men villain shelf. Put him beside Juggernaut there. I have him beside the Marvel Select Juggernaut, actually. And yeah, they complement each other, I think. But this figure, it's pretty basic. You got like the Shatterstar, Doctor Strange kind of torso there and arms, and I believe you got the Bucky Cap legs. For the most part, he's kind of just average. Nothing too special about him. He does have the Shillelagh, I believe is how you pronounce that staff. So that's nice, and a nice addition. Would have been nice if he had some removable arms where you can, where he's got like the effect where he's using his powers and he's turning into a plant, you know what I mean? But he doesn't, and he does have like a second form where he does turn more into a plant, and he becomes more like a Groot, really. So yeah, it'd be nice to have that as well. But this Black Tom is actually pretty cool. Despite it being simple, it's nice to have Black Tom finally. Now you got Pirate Deadpool. No one really asked for it. And in the storyline that had Deadpool as a pirate, he didn't really wear this costume, really. So this was more, I believe it was just the cover where he was dressed like this. I don't know. I don't know where they got this idea from, Hasbro. But it is definitely a left field idea. Execution wise, I think it's pretty decent. Like, I don't see anything wrong with it. It's just, I think the people, the contention is that no one really asked for another Deadpool, especially one in a pirate suit. So I think that's the issue that people have. But overall, I think it's a well-made figure. I mean, if you look at it, he's got a lot of brand new parts, and maybe you can reuse those parts for something else, because retooling is pretty expensive, as apparently it is. So who knows? Of course, you got Shikla as well, or Shikla. Fairly new character, Deadpool's ex-wife. They had a pretty significant marriage there, where everybody was seems to have been involved in it. Shikla does come with a really cool accessory, and probably the best accessory of the year, which is the Jeff the Land Shark figure. There's no articulation to it; it's just posed that way. But it's nice to have. Now, Jeff, I don't think, has any association with Shikla. However, you can argue that the reason why they put Jeff with Shikla is to boost the sales of Shikla. So, I mean, a lot of people did buy this figure just for Jeff. So, that's that. So, I guess it works. And then the last two figures in this wave are Sunspot and Warpath. Very 90s looks. Now with Sunspot, I don't remember exactly when he joined X-Force again, because he left New Mutants before New Mutants became X-Force, and then he came back eventually. And when he came back, I don't remember exactly, but I don't think he was wearing this costume. This was like a second or third version of the costume, which is kind of annoying because the other X-Force characters that we've been getting, including the Warpath, are like the first versions of the costumes. So this Sunspot figure, although you can put it with the 90s X-Force, by the time Sunspot wore this costume, the other X-Force characters have already changed their costumes into something else. So for example, Shatterstar was wearing one with like the red, he's got like red and white in his costume. By that point, Warpath got rid of the big shoulder pads by that point, and he had like the Thunderbird logo kind of looks different on him. And you had Cannonball, I think, was wearing, he was either wearing the blue and yellow costume, I believe that's what it was. And Domino was wearing a very 90s Domino costume, and so was Boom Boom, who was called Boomer at the time, I think. Yeah, very 90s. So, yeah, so a bit annoying because Sunspot belongs but doesn't really belong with the rest of the X-Force team. And then, of course, you got Warpath. Now, I really like the body that they used for this Warpath. I think it's the right body, in my opinion. One of the best Bucks, big man, body Bucks that Hasbro has at their disposal. The only issue I have is they made the head too big. And if you make the head too big, it sort of makes the body not appear huge. It makes the body look like, it makes Warpath look like a 7-inch, like a regular person in the 7-inch scale, as opposed to a big person in the 6-inch scale. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm trying to say. I think if they made that head a little tinier, it would give the illusion of a bigger proportion, like of a person with bigger proportions. But the way that they have it, that head is just so big, it makes the body look average in comparison. And also, Warpath is not supposed to look that old. Again, same thing with X-Man. Warpath was only supposed to be a teenager when he joined X-Force, so it would be cool if they'd fix that eventually. Anyway, I think I'm going to end it there for this episode. We have a lot more to talk about, but time has passed and I talk a lot, so I guess that's that. Anyway, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm going to go grab a drink of water because my throat is kind of getting dry right now. But wherever you guys listen to this podcast, make sure you guys give it a rating, a good rating, hopefully. But you guys, thank you for tuning in. Make sure you guys find me on Instagram at Articulatrix. I'll put a link to that in the description of this podcast. But I'll see you guys, not see you guys, I will talk to you guys next time. Take care.